This is episode 5, if y'all ain't know. I'm excited, bitches! For a barbecue.
And I had feelings deep enough to swim in. That's when you opened up your heart and you told me to come in. Oh my love.
It's bacon fucking tea.
1,000 kisses from you is never enough.
Thank you for fucking with us 5 episodes strong.
Don't wanna stop.
What's going on? Hold up real quick.
Ooh, ha ha! Steady, are you ready? What's going on?
I really got to show out for this episode, man. This is episode 5. I'm fucking excited.
Steady, are you ready?
So,
are you ready?
I have to come on
What's
with a song.
Going on? What's going on?
That really...
cold, fresh air
embodies how I'm feeling right
feel
now.
Feel a melody that's in
my
the
dude,
air.
It sound like you're ready for the summer.
Back to fucking life.
I'm down, take a look around.
Take a look around.
What's going down? However do you want me?
However
do you need me? However do you want me? However do you need me?
However
do you want me?
That shit your moms used to play when she was getting ready to clean the house after Soul Train went off.
Steady, are you ready?
Who remember that shit when Soul Train went off? You knew what it was. It was time to clean up. Shout out to all the Saturday morning kids.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
What's going on?
Tell me what's going on.
Tell me what's going on.
Cold, fresh air.
Was like, uh-huh.
I'm down, take a look around. Oh, let's go now. However do you want me? However do you need me? However do you want me? However do you need me?
Yo.
However do you want me? However do you need me?
What other song do you know besides
however do you want me?
The Yin Yang song, the whisper song that can literally...
however do you want me?
Be with like
however
no beat.
Me.
Nah, that whisper song.
However whisper. Do you want me?
This song had no
however
fucking beat.
Me? Do you need me? However
for
you
like
me?
A minute
however
30.
Do you need me? However do you want me? However do you need
imagine
me?
Imagine standing in the club waiting for the beat to come on.
Living at
the top of the block. There's no
fine. Just jam a little bit. Fucking deal, man. This is episode motherfucking 5. And this episode will be called... I'll name it later.
Oh, God.
I'll name it later, man. This is just going to be called The Five Show, man, because we just happy that we made it to five fucking episodes.
We are happy to be here.
I don't give a fuck. You got all these other motherfuckers out here that got 200 and 300 episodes and all that other shit, but I am appreciating my grind to come up. Episode 5,
we
shit.
We appreciate it.
We could have gave up at episode 1, motherfucker, but shit, we are at 5. Thank you to, in this short
Thank
little bit of time,
our listeners.
Of people who've Thank listened you. In, who's tuned in, who's giving me and Bev good reviews and everything like that, good encouragement, let us know to keep it going. You know what I'm saying? They following the movement, the Baker T movement is in effect. My niggas, I appreciate every
Thank
last
so
one of
much.
Y'all, man. Let me give y'all a clap.
You.
Let me give y'all niggas a clap. Let me give y'all niggas a clap. Appreciate y'all motherfuckers, man.
Thank you. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for every word.
All the potheads and pretty bitches. I appreciate y'all. Abso-fucking-lutely. So, let's get right into this motherfucker. We got current events in this bitch. And what would be considered a slow news week. Jordan Woods, I know we've talked about this motherfucker for like 2 or 3 episodes, is, I guess, closing out her drama with the Kardashians. She went on Red Table Talk, Jada Pinkett Smith's show on Facebook Watch. You guys don't know, go check that out. And she pretty much gave her side of the story, okay? So, I don't know if y'all know her side of the story. If you've been sitting under a rock, apparently she got caught, you know, at Tristan Thompson's house. Looked a little suspect. People said that, you know, she slept with him. She was kissing on him. She was all over him. And then left the house at 7 in the morning. Her breakdown of the story sounds very, very innocent and very, very...
It wasn't. Innocent.
It sounds very, I don't want to say innocent. It sounds like a story that if you heard it, you were like, I can see how people could have took it the wrong way.
No, but see, okay, the way she was explaining it is like, oh, nothing happened. But if you listen to her story, if y'all didn't hear it, listen to it. Because she says that she sat on the arm of the chair. Then she put her legs on him. What is that? If this is supposed to be your I guess your friend, because apparently they was friends. That's somebody they confided in. They hung. She lived with her sister. Why would you put your legs? I don't care. Oh, I was comfortable. I knew him. It doesn't even matter.
All right, hold on. You jumping? All right.
I don't think I'm jumping.
All right. Her side of the story was, she went to a party. They're in L.A., a lot of parties in L.A., party scene closes, ends at about 2 in the morning. And, you know, her crowd, they didn't want to call it a night. She said that a couple of friends, they didn't really have, you know, an agenda. Somebody, you know, they just end up going to someplace, probably going to somebody else's house, relaxing, drinking, you know, afterwards or whatever. Somebody had mentioned that, you know, we're going to a house party, going to Tristan's house. And that statement, she realizes Tristan Thompson, her best friend's sister's husband. So she felt safe. She felt like it was a cool environment to go to. She says she reaches to the party. Everything was cool. And she said this. She admit she was drunk, but she wasn't blacked out drunk. That's where I get my moors. And this is where I get into my mold to go, you know.
Why the fuck you lying?
I have that moment, you know what I'm saying, with this girl. I dead ass do. It's like, if you could admit that you weren't, she said that I wasn't buzzed. I was drunk. How can you gauge from you were drunk to you were blacked out? Like, at drunk and blacked out, the impairment, the judgment levels are pretty much the motherfucking same. How the fuck are you saying I was drunk, but I wasn't blacked out drunk? If you were blacked out drunk and it's that nigga did something to you, that's fucking rape. You got motherfuckers that got locked up for shit like that. You know what I'm saying? That slept with a chick, she was blacked out drunk, woke up and realized that she didn't want it. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I get when I hear somebody say blacked out drunk.
But she made it sound like they didn't do anything.
Okay, so wait, let me get back to the show. So she says that she was drunk at his spot. They kept drinking from after they left whatever club they was at, bar, whatever. They were still drinking at his house. He was chilling. They were all in a circle. He was there. She said where she was sitting and he was sitting, I guess, where his foot was and her foot was. I guess she said she put her foot over his foot. Not like in his lap, but over his foot resting.
Why the fuck you lying? Why you always lying?
Again, I don't know about you. Those small things people can really take away and not say, you doing something. You got your foot on my foot. I'm not, you rested your foot on my foot. I'm not going to take it as that. We know y'all know each other.
Yeah, know each other, but...
Right. If you got your leg throwed over his leg, your thigh throwed over his thigh, or some shit like that, that's something that motherfuckers can take.
You are too comfortable for comfort to be next to somebody's man that you know. If my sister was to... he was having a party, and my sister was sitting next to him on a chair, and they put her legs over him. And
no, really, it's not your sister. It's your sister's friend. Your sister's best friend.
Doesn't even matter.
No, you got to make the correction because the sister is definitely way more if my best friend,
I don't care. No matter who it is, it doesn't even matter.
You got to make it the exact scenario.
It doesn't even matter who it is.
You have to, so it makes...
How? Even if it was her sister, the sister best friend.
You have to.
A friend of a friend.
I get what you're saying.
And they all know each other.
The point is...
It's too close to comfort.
You have to make the situation match the situation. You can't actually put your sister, because your sister sleeping with your husband is, in my opinion, way more of a deeper offense than your sister's best friend sleeping with him.
All right,
so
Will.
That's why I'm saying,
okay,
make the situation...
Let me rephrase it.
Mirror...
Let me rephrase
the actual
it.
Actual circumstances.
Okay, Will. Let me rephrase it. If my sister's friend came to a party that my man was throwing, and I'm cool with my sister's friend, we hung out together, we went to parties together,
you
we did things together, we were over at each other's house, you're my sister's best friend.
You consider her your sister?
And then somebody comes to me and tell me, oh, we was all at a party, and I saw your sister's friend, she was getting a little too cozy. For comfort, she had her legs on him and all other kind of stuff. I would be upset. Why? First of all, I don't care if you know him or not. You're too close to comfort. Why are you doing all that? And then you're in a room full of people. So what are they making it seem like? Y'all got something going on. There's something happening. Y'all flirting with each other. Flirting is bad. Even if you we didn't do anything. We were just... and then you didn't leave early in the morning. Oh, but still with other people there. I don't care. You shouldn't have been there, and you shouldn't have been that close.
Okay, I got what you said. Get you. Got you. Good. So, in her mind, from what her defense or her statements was, she didn't look at it as she was doing anything outside of being a friend. She was just being a girl, hanging out. This, that, and third. She put her leg around, on his leg, and that was it. She said she was around other people. That was the gist of the most of the night. She said that by the time she looked up, it was 7 in the morning, and the sun was up. Now, if I'm playing a timeline to this, the party ended at 2, right? You went to whoever's house. You got a grant time to travel. That most likely was about a half an hour to 45 minutes. So you say he got there about like 3:00. Y'all hung out till about 7 afterwards. Okay. All right. In 2019, we all sit with a fucking phone in our hand. So how didn't you not know what time it was?
Why the fuck you lying? Why you always lying?
Okay. The way she described the scenario for somebody on the outside looking in, you can probably see where that situation that she painted could have happened. And if you're admitting that everybody was drunk, that their eyes may have perceived something different than what actually was occurring. So that's the angle that she was playing. Here's where the motherfucking shit got goddamn crazy and weird and questionable. She said as she left, realizing the time that it was, there, you know, she's like, I guess Tristan or somebody was saying to her that, you know, it was cool, you can stay, you can crash. She said that she felt uncomfortable about that and said, no, I had a car waiting for me. I'm going to go back home. And upon her leaving, she said this nigga kissed her on the lips.
Let me tell you something. What? Okay. You said nothing happened, but he kissed you on the lips. You allowed him to kiss you on the lips because you was, first of all, you were just too comfortable for me. Too comfortable. I wouldn't even been there because apparently he throw these parties all the time.
And that's another side of it too, that a lot of other women came out the closet to say that, oh, you know, Tristan, you throw these parties. Because immediately they was like, wait, Tristan throw parties and Chloe not there? The fuck?
And then if,
you know what I'm saying? Now, don't get me wrong. You can do your thing. You are a different tax bracket than us. All that other shit. And
why you didn't call Kylie? Why you didn't call her and tell her?
Calling Kylie. Why you?
She likes parties too.
Fuck that. Why don't they call your wife? The wife. Your wife. Why you say, hey babe, I'm having a whole couple of homeboys over, and a couple of them niggas call some chicks over. Hey, you wanna pull up? Y'all rich as shit. You got nannies on standby. Yeah, watch the baby. Come pull up. Da 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 da.
He ain't gonna do that.
But wait, hold up, son. That's the illest question of the day. You know, how did he have a party and not invite his wife? But okay, he kissed you, and you let it happen. Didn't question him when he did it, and you was like, it wasn't until you got into the car that you realized what happened.
Now, my thing is, go ahead.
Why the fuck you lying? Why you always lying? Oh my God.
Son.
That whole interview to me, I felt some type of way about it. I'm telling you, I don't even know why. There's a whole bunch of lies going on. I felt like because she has a relationship with the Smith family, she went to them and wanted to tell her story. But she really didn't say anything, but I didn't do anything. And then we support you, we got your back.
She went there to take accountability for being in the wrong place.
To being at the place.
Right. That's ultimately what she took accountability for, because if she wasn't in the place, then it wouldn't have been her in the gossip mill about, you know, messing with Tristan. It would have been some other random bitch or some other chick. It wouldn't have been her.
And who said he hasn't, because he'd be throwing these parties?
Okay, right. Exactly. You had other people out there saying that, they've been messing around for a minute, and this is one of the times that y'all was a little too loosey-goosey and got caught. And there was a lot of people in there that were people in there that knew people and got that word out fast. My thing is, if they were messing around that much, why would they risk being so loose with, A, her friends, B, if it, obviously there were people in the building or in the house that had friends that, you know, weren't that connected to the Kardashians or weren't connected to the Kardashians that would take that and run to the scoop. The first person or one of the main people that dropped it was this dude, Jason Lee, who's a blogger or whatever like that out in L.A. And he was like, his people, his best, one of his close friends was there and got footage and facts on the, I don't know about footage, but like pictures or whatever like that, or I guess told him verbatimly what he was seeing as he was seeing it. So, you know, I don't know, you know, if it was, you know, I can I can see a drunk night making things go wrong or something like that. But you have to have a level of attraction to a person. That's my thing. He kissed you. You allowed that kiss, bruh. Because if you was not feeling a nigga, and I don't give a fuck if y'all was friends for dumb long.
The moment he goes,
and I get the hug, all right, I'm going to see you later. And I hug, boom. And I kiss you on your cheek goodbye out of, you know, see you later. Mwah, bye. But you said that man kissed you on your lips. How much of an embrace were y'all in for you to allow that to happen? Because I know the embrace of a bye hug versus an embrace to a bye hug and kiss. Those are two different types of embraces. So, you know, how did you allow that to happen? How close were y'all and how long y'all tied up, hugged up on each other that he was allowed to get close to your lips like that? You sure? He tall as fuck. There's a lot of inconsistencies in your story, sis. To be honest, you know what I'm saying? And one of the things that I seen after that drop was that Chloe, which while we're all sitting here kind of, you know, we're bashing her because of her reaction to the interview, post the interview, they've been mum's the word. Social media has been attacking that girl. I think that was a lot of the reason why she went on there too, she said, because she had gotten threats to her family and things like that. And she's like,
that's only because it's the Kardashians fans
that's been acting. But that's the other part about it too. Like, listen, man, first of all, y'all niggas don't even know me. Y'all don't even know them. But y'all threatening to kill me over people that won't even most likely acknowledge y'all if they saw y'all in the street. Like, I feel her point right there. Like, now y'all going too far. Yeah, I'm entitled to make a mistake. I'm not perfect. Neither is he, neither is she. Talking about Tristan and Chloe. Nor Kim, nor Chris, or anybody else.
No, none of them niggas over there.
You know what I'm saying? I think she went out to social media because while the Kardashians was kind of living in the support and silence, she, while trying to stay silent and kind of move past it, was getting attacked and internet cyber bullied, which you know how trolls doing nowadays. You know what I'm saying? And she felt like, listen, I gotta at least get my point out because y'all can sit here and be quiet and go about y'all day and let the narrative play itself out. I don't got the only resources I got to help combat what y'all have built already in y'all machine is my longtime friend, you know, and family friend, the Smiths. This is the only way I have, the only, you know, avenue I have to get myself out. So, you know, that's a crazy situation. You know what I'm saying? I also feel like,
you know, I said this to Will when we was watching the interview happening. I just felt like it was like a power of who has more power. The Kardashians, the Smiths, because they all was friends. They're all in the midst of everything. What'd you call it? Father, Jordan's father worked for Will for years for the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and stuff like that before he passed. And so there was a connection there. So and then everybody became friends. I just felt like, you know what I'm saying? I felt like Jada just gave her a pass.
I think
That's what I feel like, because she's friends of the family. I felt like she said what she said, and then Jada was like, well, I just want to let you know, Will, because she said Will, more than one occasion, Will, you heard what he said, no, we got your back.
Right, but I think where she was saying a lot of that came from, I think a lot of that came from her having the support when it came to an audience that was equal to the Kardashian audience. Because, right, the main question everybody was asking was, who's Jordan Woods? You know what I'm saying? The main question was, everybody's asking, you know, who is she? How does she get, you know, under here? Is she the babysitter? Is she the help friend? Is she the whatever everybody was thinking she was? So, you know, I feel like what was happening with, you know, Jada and what's the girl? Fucking bitch. What's the girl? Jordan Woods. Yeah, I think what Jada was allowing her to do was to say her piece without it being flipped or without it being, you know, altered by, you know, a narrative that could paint joy in a more negative light than she's already in, you know. I think they gave her a platform where she could just say her piece and not be, you know, ridiculed or judged. You know what I'm saying? Trust me, I believe, you know, if anything, Jada and Will may have, you know, gave her that real talk, probably off air, because if anything, at the end of the day, this is a private matter, But, you know, when it came to the show, I think they just wanted her to just say what she felt happened and what she's experiencing, because the Kardashians actually don't got to say shit. They could be quiet, go about their life, go party, post Snapchats and all types of shit, and nothing, even when it's a negative outlook, because at the end of the day, it's attention for them, and any type of attention in their eye is good attention. It's going to make you see what's going on and probably check out the next person that goes on and check out the next one, the Kardashian, you know, see what else is going on with her or them, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, they was able to live free, you know, in quiet, which I honestly thought that they would be more attacking, but they fell back and was very quiet. I do think this matter could have been solved more privately, but I feel like the media made it a Kardashian, and then when they found out her connections to the Smiths, a Kardashian versus Smiths situation. I'm pretty sure it's not even that at all. But, you know, I think the media built it up to that to say, well, you know, now she has the Smiths behind her. She has that type of backing or following, you know, audience that the Kardashians have. And, you know, that can even be debated. But I think she just wanted a platform that wasn't going to be judging, that was just going to hear her out, you know. If anything, good or bad, we're not perfect, but we're going to support you. So ultimately, you know, I think that was good for her to come out. And for what social media is saying after everything that happened after the interview, Khloé got out there and barked on Jordan, you know, pretty much telling her, you know, why don't you tell the truth? You didn't talk to me privately. You took this publicly and all of that shit. You know, and then, you know, she pretty much said, you're the reason my family's broken up, and everybody went off. Like, how dare you jump on Jordan and tell Jordan she's the reason when your man is the nigga that did all the shit to you. You know what I'm saying?
She changed the story. It was like, oh,
after the explosion, and then apologized for saying that maybe my words came out a little bit too hasty, you know, too fast. But I did it now. You said that in the moment in your emotions, and you know that, you know, social media, you just got to stand by that. They're like, yeah, thank you for finally coming to the truth. But yeah, don't jump on her like you jump on her, but you should be jumping on Tristan even more.
I was just like, everybody just needs to stop tweeting.
Her biggest statement, which I do understand, and I understand, and I actually respect her for it, is that while, yeah, Tristan is the wrong and the chief wrong of the party, he is the father of her child, and he has been handling this privately. He's not on social media making a fuss, saying this bitch lying or trying to get his story out. He's dealing with it with his wife, and you don't see none of that. You see him living a regular life where everybody may think it's cold, but no, I'm not giving y'all no more than what you already got. And I'm going to deal with this with the people that's involved. If we break up, we break up. If we don't, we don't. And that's just that, you know. Also, what was happening was, you know, Karma rearing his ugly head, or Karma getting a Twitter account and deciding to, you know, pull up old history on the Kardashians, going, y'all a little bit too high on y'all pedestal and forgetting y'all motherfuckers was doing some fuck shit too. You know what I'm saying? That's, you know, reminding us about the French Montana and Trina situation. You know, reminding us about the Laura London and Trey Song situation. All of this is still Khloé, by the way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
This is just Khloé.
Right. All of this is Khloé. Her, you know, jumping in and Trina Grave and dating, you know, French right directly after she just, you know, finished messing between, and now they, Trina said on record that they were on a couple, but they were pretty much friends with benefits. They were in what episode 4 or episode 3 would call exclusively dating at this time. Or date. Oh, yeah, they were exclusively dating, how she said it. He broke the exclusive dating code and rule. And, you know, most likely went or not even broke it. He most likely found somebody else and was still in the part of the exclusive dating and went on to Chloe. But she still kind of felt like it was shady. And then we had the same situation with Laura London and Trey Songz. And I don't think it was a relationship. I think that was just they was in the club drunk, making out type shit. And that word got out. And that was one of the things that they stopped messing around. But I don't think she was the reason why they broke up. But the point is that, you know, don't be so quick to, you know, point fingers at motherfuckers, because you always got, you know, 3 pointed back at you.
Right. You got skeletons in your closet. Well, not really. It's not skeletons in your closet because everybody knew about it. And that's the thing that's the point that I'm trying to get across. Like, you busy judging this girl. You didn't want nobody to judge you when you was out there doing your thing. She was young, just like you was, once was. And she out here doing what she's doing. But you want nobody to look at you and judge you when you out here doing the same exact thing that this young girl was doing. Now when it's turned to you and your family, because now you got a kid. Now I don't think that you would have cared that much if you didn't have this kid. Because you probably just would have moved on to the next person.
I believe all, you know, children in a place makes a lot of situations, you know, that you probably would have walked away from earlier. You may halt and think about, you know, what's best for the kid. You know, being single and, you know, co-parenting and shit like that. Not everybody wants to go through
but
that.
But he was dating a whole other person when he met her. You understand? So that's why I'm like...
Again.
Karma is a mother freaker, because he was dating somebody else. Mother freaker. Then here you came.
Shout out to all the mother freakers in the building. All right, I'm done talking about Jordan, I'm about to call it Jordan's box. God damn it.
Oh, poor girl. Don't do that.
I'm done talking don't about do Jordan that. Woods. Y'all go buy whatever the fuck she put out now, because she just got a whole bunch of publicity or whatever like that for possibly...
I'm over it.
Or maybe, or, you know, some type of fucking this nigga, kissing this nigga or something. Something. My opinion, is she lying? I absolutely think she's lying. I think something happened. I think...
You're lying.
I think either I think I'm not gonna go as far as say that it was in a relationship or was fucking around for a while. Yeah. But I think maybe when the Henny in the system ain't no telling. I say Henny because I drink Henny a little bit more than Remy. But you know the song.
Henny in the system
ain't no telling. You know what I'm saying?
You
know what I mean? When Henny in the system ain't no telling. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? So I'll go with that. And, you know, Tristan out here living his best life, married but single. So, you know, it is what it is. But on to the next thing. We talked about this motherfucker for half an hour. Did anybody hear the Salons album?
Okay. I just want to say I love you, Solange. I love you. I love your music.
I'm gonna smoke.
I love your whole vibe. I love everything about you.
I want to hear this shit.
I just feel like I didn't understand anything that you were saying on your album.
Oh, okay. I thought you was about to praise this shit. I thought you was about to praise this motherfucking album.
No, because we had a discussion about this, Will.
I thought you were about to praise that shit.
I love the music on it. Like, the vibes of the music was, like, really, really good. And I was like, yes. But then I was like, well, what are you saying? You know, it was basically like you picked the word. Oh, I like this word. And you repeated the word. I'm just being honest.
My nigga, I love you, girl. She did one song where she was just fucking humming and hawing. Nigga, this is a fucking track listing. Was 19. She had 19 tracks and the album was 39 minutes long. What in the entire fuck was that? All right, so I'm hearing everybody saying it was a jazz concept album and it was jazz and, you know, it wasn't one of those albums that you can kind of you know, shift through. You have to kind of play it.
You gotta,
like,
but niggas, you gotta go pull it on them slowly. They're not used to you
doing
that.
Nigga, I'm at track 18. Like, all right, here we go. You know what I'm saying? It's 19 tracks. I'm at track 18. Like, all right, she gonna drop it now. Nigga.
Then she said, ooh.
Bruh. Okay. Okay. Can we just give up the fact that we give Solange a fucking pass because she Beyonce's sister? Can we just go ahead and just do that?
I'll give her a pass.
That's what people do. We give her a pass because she Beyonce's sister.
I don't give her a pass.
That's what niggas do.
Because they both different, totally different people. So they different music.
And they give her a pass as far as this, all this artistic is creating. And I'm not knocking nobody for trying some different shit. But, bro, really? Really? Really?
How the Solange? What are you saying, honey?
Really?
Son, I love you.
Son, I'm saying, like, what's she saying? What is she saying? What? Son, I gave that album 8 thumbs down. I love the music. I only got 2 fucking thumbs.
Man. I love the music. I was that, those tracks were.
And it's like, oh, it's a vibe. It's something you have to listen to and vibe to it. What the fuck were we trying to do while listening to this motherfucker? Trying to vibe. My nigga, I couldn't find the vibe. No,
it was maybe a couple of tracks on there that was
fuck all
okay.
That shit.
Okay.
One song, it's like 2 songs. I'm like, all right, here we go. All right. And then the song stopped. The fuck? Why you stopped the song?
Yeah, it stopped.
And then went to some other weird shit.
Like a minute in.
Oh my God.
Like, man. It was getting good and it stopped like a minute in.
19 tracks. Again, 19 tracks.
So was it an album of samples?
39 minutes. 19.
I just want to know, was it an album of samples?
Like an EP, like a whole bunch of, you know, shit I'm trying out.
Like, let me see if anybody feel these. But it was a whole album of it. And so it's like, oh. And you need, I'm sorry, but I didn't understand anything that you.
Excuse me. Why can't she sing like Beyonce? Why can't she sing like Beyonce can sing?
Because she's not.
I don't care. But why can't she sing like Beyonce, though?
Because she's not.
It's like Beyonce, like, her vocal scale and range and difficulty is like, God tier. Solange shit is like.
Because she's totally different from her.
Solange sound like a talent show.
And you cannot compare the two, Will. They're totally different people.
Why can't you compare the two?
Because they're not the same. Look.
Did they come out the same pussy?
And so what?
Did they come out the same dick?
So what?
They both came out the same dick and pussy.
But they're two different people.
Okay.
Especially music styles and everything.
They both from Matthew and Tina Knowles. God damn it.
I'm sorry, but they're not the same people.
Did they not go to the same vocal coaches?
I'm sure she worked hard to not be like her sister, because I'm sure the music industry people were trying to compare her to her sister.
Well, maybe your dumb ass should. Fuck out of here. Fuck you talking about.
You better, you know what?
Maybe you should have listened.
Needless to say.
2 thumbs down.
I'm going to give it.
Trash.
I'm not going to say it was trash, because I love the trash.
It's like, oh, you just heard it. It just came out. You got to listen to it a couple of times. How many times I got to listen to an album?
We heard the whole thing.
I motherfucking feel.
Get in the groove.
How many times? You can't fuck to that album. You can't talk to that album. You know what I'm saying? You can't think to that album. You just got to just be there like, okay. Like, you go to the museum.
Because I feel like we were listening to it mad hard. That's how much
maybe it was us. Maybe we was listening to that shit a little too.
Seriously.
It was a little too tuned for the shit. Like, we was really, like, you know, fiending to hear the shit. Like,
no, because we wanted, because I was, personally, I was hearing about it and I wanted to hear it. So when it came out, I was like.
Okay, so let me ask a real music question then. So was it that our anticipation from her previous work had us ready to probably experience the same thing.
And we got disappointed.
And as an artist, because she has a right to go another direction. Mm. We can't technically, she gets the pass again because, oh, well, you're an artist and you chose to go another direction artistically with your music. So we have to allow you to do that. Same thing they did with J. Cole when he made that Sincerely Dare, whatever. He had made an album right after the fucking Forest Hill Drive album that was really great. And that second album, that album was fucking garbage, but it was like a concept album. I think he had just had a child and some shit like that, but it was a piece of shit. And then it came right out. Then after that, he did KOD, which was a great album right after it. But yeah.
I feel like...
Do we have to give her a pass because she chose to go a different artistic direction?
It wasn't a pass per se with a different because
no, I'm saying both do artists we have do to that. Give her a pass because she chose to go a different
route. No, we don't have to give her a pass. If the album was not good, it was not good. Her last album I felt was good. It didn't. This album don't compare it to her last, and I want to say that I was fairly disappointed in what I heard. I really do like some of the tracks that was on there, but on them tracks, the vocals weren't there for me because I didn't understand anything what you were saying. I really didn't. And so I was disappointed in the Solange album. Some people may like it, but we didn't. So
yeah, man. That shit was trash, bro. Sorry.
Sorry.
Just keep it in the butt.
Sorry, right. Sorry.
That shit was ass. That was some ass.
Sorry.
That was ass.
But we're going to move on because we totally agreed on a change or something and we didn't enjoy the album.
It was farts. She was farting on the track.
But there's other music that came out that I felt like I listened to the Inna Iree album.
She had an album come out?
Yeah, she had an album come out. You didn't know she had an album come out?
Nah, nigga, the birds and the trees and the bird and the stars in the sky didn't align at the same time.
Her album
tell me that she was coming out with an album.
She came out with an album. It came out and it's pretty good. It's pretty good for those who would enjoy that,
like neo soul.
Yeah, and it's really good. It's different from usual what Inna did in her past, but this one was good.
That music is for niggas that wear flip flops and don't wash their feet.
Okay. No, but I was saying, but can you say? Where's music now?
That album is for girls that got good pussy, but got hairy pussy at the same time.
You're dumb.
Inna Iree make music for niggas that got nappy hair, ride bikes, and
right now I want to say you're bait. Right now I want to say that you are bait because
I'm taking this. Inna Iree make music for niggas that light incense and eat tofu.
Yes, she does. For real.
Like, yes, she does. Somebody like, so that's not even a joke. That's not, like, so tofu's very good.
Niggas, so what? Let me ask you this question.
Yeah, I remake
this crazy stuff. Bitches
that eat hummus.
Shut up. So
and wear Vans.
No, I feel like music now is taking a turn because people put on music that it's just ridiculous. And I feel like music took a turn. And I think that, you know, they're trying to get it back to where it was, but it's not quite.
You got to trust the flow of how the music industry goes and how things happen with music. At the end of the day, you know, with all of these, you know, everybody, you know, I think I said this on this podcast, but every generation has had music when music was pushed into another level, had a resistance. So Two Live Crew with its explicit, you know, sexual content had a resistance with, you know, the white people and all of that stuff. And then you had NWA with, you know, the street violence and, you know, fuck the police and all of that type of music and the resistance. you know, that and inciting violence against authorities and shit like that, all the way up to now where you got the mumble rappers and or whatever you want to call it, the bling rapping, that snapping Atlanta music, whatever, that Atlanta sound, and the resistance to that. Oh, there's no content. There's no respect to the generations that came before them. All of these generations.
You don't understand anything they're saying.
All these generations have had a resistance when they are pushing the culture forward. So I, as an older dude, don't have a problem with what I'm seeing. You know, you just have to know that, you know, and all of those cultures, all of those pushes of the culture going forward that I was just explaining, you had a whole bunch of them little niggas that was in that was trying to jump on that wave that was trash, that didn't pan out, or whatever like that. Same thing here. It's 1,000 of these motherfuckers. Oh, all you little niggas. 1,000 of y'all niggas. All y'all do is talk about taking drugs, doing drugs, and popping music, popping bottles, fucking bitches. And, you know, y'all niggas ain't got no substance to your flows, da-da-da-da-da. But it's 1,000 of them, just like it was 1,000 of them back then. It's 1,000 of them now. And it's just the push of what the culture was going. It's not dying. It's just, like it always do, reinvents itself. So right now is in its reinventive stage, and whether it's wearing off and another form of the culture is developing, we're watching. But as what you can't stop is when the culture wants to change, it's gonna change.
Right.
You can't stop it. You know what I'm saying? You could do your best. You could say what happened if this didn't happen. Whatever. When the culture wants to change, it's gonna change, and that's just that. So you know, shout out to everybody that's putting their stamp on pushing this forward and doing what they got to do. So I ran across a post on Instagram and it made me ask a question. You know what I'm saying? The post has said, and I'll think about whether I put it as the cover art. It says, don't date an insecure person, should never date a popular person. And I was like, Now, obviously, the answer was probably correct, but, you know, how do you know you're insecure? You know, versus the popular person, obviously, you may find in relationship as, you know, different relationships that one person may be in the public, not a public eye, but just a little bit more friendlier than others.
And or have outgoing. More friends,
outgoing, maybe the people person more than you. You know, you may find that dynamic in a lot of situations where maybe the girlfriend, you know, she's really popular. She has a lot of friends, female friends. She's, you know, very social at work. You know what I'm saying? This, that, and the third. Or you may have the guy who, you know, he's, you know, has a lot of male friends, or he's social everywhere. He travels, this, that, and the third. Or you may have the other rare occasions where you are a celebrity. And, you know, you are in the limelight where you have multitudes of people looking at you. And you may be the girlfriend who just may, say, be a nurse or aspiring actress or model or whatever like that. How do you gauge your insecurity versus a popular person? And should that be something to determine your relationship? Should status, because and insecurity is an eternal thing. It's more of a, what would you consider insecurity? A characteristic thing or something that's more of a personality thing? Like you have an insecure personality or insecure character?
I mean, it might be just because
like personality, I feel like popularity is more of a, popular person is more of a title, and insecurity is more of a.
You think so? I mean, I think some people.
It can be cast as a title, especially when you've been popular in multiple scenarios. Like, oh yeah, you Mr. Popular everywhere you go.
Maybe that's just that person personality.
That could be that. All right, so then we're right. So then popular can be considered a personality, just like insecurity, or a trait to a personality. Like
a trait insecurity. Because a person. A outgoing person could have insecurities as well.
Right. But I think they're saying somebody who an insecure person shouldn't date a popular person when it comes to, I think they're talking about it more or less when it comes to how you are when you're
together.
Right, right. Like, as far as if you're insecure, you shouldn't date me if you know that people like me. I talk to the opposite sex, things like that, you know, because, say,
that's interesting.
A celebrity, or say, a club promoter, or I think in an example we talked about before, a bouncer. You know what I'm saying? I talk to the opposite sex. I'm popular. I may have to store some numbers. I'm not doing anything, though. I'm not cheating. I'm not doing anything. But I'm just popular. But because I'm that much wanted by the public, you and your insecurity about that and not being sure of yourself, you cast that on me. Or you end up casting that on me. So they're saying that you shouldn't date if you're insecure or you're not sure that you can trust the person you're with. You shouldn't date a person who tends to be noticed a lot.
Well,
should that even matter, though?
You know what? My thing is, in a way, it matters in a relationship. If you care about the person that you know that has some insecurities, not about the I don't know if with the relationship, or I think is, let's see, how can I put this? When you're dealing with somebody who have insecurities, and you know they have insecurities about certain situations, would you put them in that that place of insecurity?
But sometimes you can't. Sometimes I can't help the places that you're put, and the work or the things that I'm about put you there, set you off, you know, trigger you subconsciously or without me being able to do anything about it. I'm a podcaster right now. These podcasts take off, become a huge celebrity in a sense. Now I gotta go and be in front of this person, that person. I got female celeb fans that like me, all this type of stuff. I have to be interactive on social media, answer DMs, all this type of stuff. Now, I don't know that you are insecure about that stuff. You had a past relationship. Now, you know, we're dating, and I don't know, you had a past relationship that a dude was on his phone and he was cheating and he hurt you. I don't know all that. But I'm dealing in the job that I'm doing, and I'm becoming this, you know, I'm living my dream. I'm working on my craft.
Mm-hmm.
And being in the public eye is a part of my craft. But because your insecurity about what happened in the past and you're not getting over it and willing to go, this is a new situation, this is different, you're bringing that old stuff into the new, your old insecurities, and you're dumping the person but taking the baggage of the mistrust. And so now, all of a sudden, now we have to get into unnecessary, what are you doing? Why are you always on your phone? Why is this? Why is that? And it's like, you know, this is a part of my craft. So how far am I supposed to, how much am I supposed to cut off into my craft to appease your insecurity?
Well, this is where trust comes in at, where, you know what I'm saying, where you, like, you know if the person truly loves you, he or she ain't gonna do anything to hurt you, you know? Or if you feel like, because sometimes a woman's intuition is right on certain situations, but you have to trust that the person is not going to hurt you or do anything. So you have to put your faith in that person and trust them. That's what you got to do. Because I can only speak for me. You know, in the situation where trust was an issue for me, and going into a new relationship, I'm a person who don't have that much insecurities, because I want to say I am a popular person. I am a popular person. Mm-hmm. I am out there. I am noticed. I am out there. But I had insecurities from past relationships. But I learned from them. And then when you have somebody that you can talk about these things with and grow with them, then it's much easier to deal with them.
So
because my thing is, if y'all don't have communication about it, like, I should be able to go and talk to, you know, my man and say, look, you know, I'm not yelling at you. I'm not, you know, coming at you in any type of way. But I'm feeling some type of way about this. Okay, baby, let's talk about it. I feel like it can't be a brush off. And we're like, well, just deal with it because I'm not out there doing that. No, baby, you feel this way? So let's talk about it. You know, it's easier to communicate with somebody than yelling at them because that's how you build a relationship, a trusting relationship or whatever like that. So I feel like...
That sounds good, but bitches be yelling.
I know, but that's why I'm saying what I'm saying, Will, that you should be able to talk to your partner and your partner should be... Y'all need to sit and listen to each other.
Bitches love to yell. And bitches love to hear
themselves. I don't like to yell.
I ain't, you're a bitch.
Let me tell you, but don't, okay. I'm just saying, like, well, because I'm not a normal female.
I'm saying.
But bitches love to yell. My thing is, yeah, females love to yell and because they feel like the guy's not listening. And if they feel like the guy's brushing them off, I'm like, oh, you're just trying to be dramatic all the time, like, whatever, deal with your own insecurities, don't bring it over here. Then it's like, well, he doesn't care. He doesn't care about how I feel. So that's where stuff happens in relationships where it's not going to last very long because you're not communicating the facts. Like, we have an issue. And there's something going on. And can we please talk about it?
Man, it don't always work like that, my nigga. You already know that. But, oh, man. Let me just... Before we even jump in, because that's a whole nother role. So, could it be... So, the statement made it to be where the insecure person shouldn't date the popular person. I want to flip it.
Because if you can't handle it, then you know you can't.
I want to flip it. Should it be more on the popular person? Not dealing with... an insecure person as opposed to an insecure person dealing with a popular person. Should it be flipped since the popular person in foresight would know, I dealt with you before. I dealt with girls like you before. You say, oh, whatever like that, you're going to be all right. But as soon as I laugh a little too hard at a tweet, you're going to be thinking of some other shit or whatever like that. So should it be more on the popular person to see that, have that foresight to go, nah, I need to find somebody who's either equally popular as me or has that maturity level that stuff doesn't affect them. That doesn't bother them either way because they're sure and
they secure in their relationship.
Who we are, who they are, and, you know, all of that shit shouldn't matter. I think that it was a time that you wanted to be with the popular person, and I think that time still goes. But women at that time, I was just watching the Teddy Pendergrass shit, and this is so dope that kind of comes up. That Teddy Pendergrass, I don't think he was never married, but he had, at the time, at the height of his career, he had a couple of females. And I don't think it was like polyamorous or anything like that, but they knew, like, listen, you know, I'm with Teddy when I'm with Teddy. You know what I'm saying? That's me. Like, yeah, I seen a couple of them before. Sometimes I, you know, pick one of them up. I was with him and he was dropping me off. But, you know, I knew who I was. I ain't worried about them. I think at that time when, you know, in that mindset and that.
He had his main chick.
Right. He had a main one. Kind of like, I don't want to say like a pimping hierarchy type shit. But I think in those days, because I was laughing. I was like, look at somebody, mama, being a hoe. Look at somebody, grandmama, because this is like 70s and shit, early 80s, like 80s. Like, yeah, listen to somebody, mama, now grandmama. Look at your grandmama / mama being a hoe for Teddy Pendergrass. You know what I'm saying? But I was saying all that to say back then, while it was still definitely popular to be with, you know, everybody wanted to be with the popular person. If you had an insecurity, a lot of that shit you either kept or you didn't acknowledge, because it was like, to be with him, I had to deal with, possibly dealing with all the girls. And I understand that in this day and age, the level of acceptance has gone very high. And I'm not accepting that, as, you know, females aren't accepting that. But, you know, we, like I said, when it goes back to the point, you have to be sure of who you are ultimately. Because if you sure who you are ultimately, no popular person's whatever have you questioning or anything like that. Because once you know who you are, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, when you, just like, for example, like, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they are, let's say, the popular person. And she was a popular person as well until she lost her job. And it kind of made the roles kind of differ, because now this person is questioning their relationship. And it felt like the girl, she doesn't have a get up and go about her anymore and stuff like that. And she feels a type of way, all of that other kind of stuff. And the popular person is like, look, I don't know if I can handle all this. You know, you're bringing me down, basically. And I feel like now I'm out here trying to work, and now you questioning me about my moves because you want me there with you at all times. And I'm trying to out here, trying to work, trying to take care of my fam and all other kind of stuff. And you want me to step under you because you think, because now you ain't got nothing else going on, you ain't busy, that I'm out here doing what I'm doing And that's the thing. It can easily get to that point. When somebody starts to be insecure. But like you said, and that was interesting what you said, like you people, I think two popular people are compatible more with one another than a insecure person and a popular person. Because popular people, they're working towards the same thing. They out here getting goals and stuff like that, and all that kind of stuff. Where a insecure person doesn't know where their status is at the moment.
See, and then again, we got to go back to the beginning, because we're talking about it in a personality sense and not as a whole. Because again, you can be popular and have insecurities. You can be a popular person, like I'm popular, and still be worried about what I'm doing on my phone, like an insecure person as a whole does. You can do the same thing. But sure, again, it's just about that assurance. Like, yo, I'm not, you know, if that's not what I'm worried about.
Do you feel like you need to alter your movements for the insecure person?
To a point, yeah. But after a while, it's going to be how much movement, how much adjustment do I have to do and you not move and to get less insecure? How much more? Because, like, I can go and, like, all right, I was going through something in my past relationship, and one of the moves that I did to try to show it, to gain trust and to put insecurity to rest, was I shut down my social medias. I shut down my Facebook. I think I had Snapchat, Instagram, or whatever like that. Shut it all down. I had it down for a year. Or whatever like that. All to prove, you know, or what I thought I was trying to do was to prove, or whatever like that, that, you know, nah, you know, I don't care. Social medias aren't important. You know, if that's what you're worried about me being on, and da-da-da-da-da, I'll cut them off. I did that, and the securities, I don't think it went away at all. Because I don't think that was the substance of the problem.
Because there was no trust there.
Right. There was more. I thought.
And it had to be more issues in that.
Right. I thought that doing that, that would get me not all my trust, but a percentage of it. A little bit of it. Like, I understood that.
Did you do something prior to that?
Obviously. Or what she was thinking that I was doing, obviously. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it is what it is. She thought, you know, she thought some shit, made, you know, found some shit, obviously, And in my attempt to show her that, nah, that's, you know, it's nothing fucking around in these groups and shit like that. This is bullshit. Just mess around. I'll leave the internet alone. Cut it all off. Bloop. It's not that serious. I thought that that would help. It didn't, because
that helped her insecurities. Because if she found something, and if, you know, you say it was nothing, and you was heartened and liking and stuff or other shit, excuse me, and you that trust was long planted. So whatever you did, trying to delete stuff.
Well, no,
didn't even help again, the situation. It wasn't, of course,
right? Not. Obviously, I'm not saying. Of course, I'm never saying. Say I'm fucking saying.
And it never came back.
But what I was saying was that what I was trying to do to adjust the insecurities. What I thought was like, oh, well, this, if you're insecure about this, it's gone. How about that? That knock your insecurities away. No, it didn't do it at all. Because it's like, all right, well, you don't got so... Because
there's still other avenues that you can go out there and do you.
So, regardless, once sometimes insecurities are set, there's but so much you can do as the person trying to ease the securities. So it's then put back into the person who's insecure to go, either I'm going to release some of these insecurities, and a.k.a., Or release some of these insecurities and give you some of that trust back. Work on giving you some of that trust back. Or, nah, I can't. I can't let these insecurities go. This is something that's really, you know, I'm really locked, you know, clenched about. So I think it's best to either we work, you know, whatever we got to do next. You know what I'm saying? But that wasn't the case. I'm like, all right, boom. And I thought it worked. And, you know, from what she said, it worked. But it didn't. So you can put forth effort to relieve insecurities. But the person that's holding them has to be willing to either give some up, give it up in a hole, whatever. You know what I'm saying? It has to be a willing, both parties have to be willing. Like, all right, I can do this, but you have to be willing to do that as well. They'll tell you that at anybody's marriage counseling, relationship counseling. It can't be the person that's doing the offense, doing all the work, and then you're sitting there watching them slave, and then when they come looking for their payment, and it's like, yeah, nah. You know what I'm saying? How much more work you want me to do before you want to pay me? Pay me what I want. What I want is your trust back. What I want is you to be less insecure about things that's going on with us. If I'm doing things to relieve that, and you're still not budging, what the fuck? So now you just want me to be a slave, or I can't have no say as a person, as a man. Or
you're enjoying.
Or you're enjoying.
Me watching, do this.
Right, right. Enjoy me being this lapdog to you. Because at a point, especially with insecurities, a nigga that ain't got no motherfucking no, don't know how to say no, that nigga fuck around and be a whole poodle to a girl. Just trying to make sure that she ain't motherfucking thinking, you know, the worst all the time because she's insecure. He be thinking it's him. You know what I'm saying? I found niggas who, all right, they fucked up. One time, they may have cheated or they did some shit. They called, it was texting or called a number or whatever, whatever. Fucked up, admitted it, I'm sorry, whatever, whatever. 2-3 years down the line, he ain't did nothing else. Homegirl still ride that nigga like he motherfucking did that shit yesterday. She right or she, or she, he, is he right for leaving? Is she right for still doing that? Is she wrong for still doing that? Is he wrong for not saying something?
Well, that's a lot of questions. I feel like she's wrong because you can't. If you're going to forgive, forgive. If you're not, then leave. You can't keep holding on to something.
People say,
I keep riding him on it.
Let me just say this real quick.
You ain't willing to forgive him.
You said that. Either you're going to forgive or forgive. If you don't, then leave. People hit you with the, oh, I can forgive, but I don't forget. When you hear that statement right there, no, you didn't forgive at all. You forgave the top layer. You forgave the filling, the icing. You ain't forgive the center and the cake.
And that's what I said. Either you're going to forgive him or you want to leave. Because if you're going to keep holding it over your head, you're hurting yourself. You're not hurting him. You're hurting yourself. So either you're going to forgive or you're going to leave. You can't just sit there holding it, and then every time he walk in the door, this nigga here. I can't stand it. Or, but you still with him.
Or everything. What are you doing with that bitch, huh? You can't do nothing. You can't laugh. You can't watch nothing too long on your phone. You can't nothing, anything. I've watched girls crucify dudes or whatever like that after, you know, maybe a situation or something like that. And I'm not saying, like you just said, if you're not going to be able to move on and be happy,
right, if
and
not be able to handle
constantly anything, put him in jail or constantly throw him on the cross for some shit, and especially if he ain't doing nothing to show you that that's the same type of time he on, and you still on some, well, niggas ain't shit, and you can still possibly do it. You might as well just escape.
Yeah, let me tell you this. I'm gonna escape. I'll make this clear. Yes, I've been in a relationship, and yes, he's on his phone constantly. I know what he's doing on his phone. I'm not even insecure. Maybe sometimes I'm like, what is he doing? But I know that he's a part of a lot of groups. I know he's a part of a lot of different things. And I'm not insecure. I know he loves me. And I love him. And I wouldn't do anything to hurt him. And he sure as hell would not do anything to hurt me. So, either you're going to trust your nigga, or you're just going to leave it alone.
And here's the other thing about it, too. I don't know how we got on phones, but I don't give a fuck about any girl. When I was married, in a relationship I'm in now, I don't give a fuck about a phone. I don't give a fuck about what you do on your phone. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't matter. I don't care. Like, to the point where, yeah, it may be foolish enough to be like, yeah, a bitch could probably cheat on me because I don't care. It's not my business. You know what I'm saying? I've always just had that about me. I'm big on privacy. You know what I'm saying? And you're like, oh, what you got to hide? It ain't nothing about to hide. It's just that this is my shit. I'm just big on privacy. It's what's going on with me. It's going on with me. Even into my relationship. You know what I'm saying? The world can know, but I don't care if they do. I don't care if they don't. You know what I'm saying? It's same thing to go with my shit. Sometimes it's like, you know, with my phone or something like sometimes like shit like that. Not that I got shit to hide. It's just, it's my shit. No. You know what I'm saying? That's just how I am. But when it comes to, you know, my girl shit, I don't care. You know what I'm saying?
I think he pretty much knows what I do on my phone. So it's like...
But it doesn't bother me.
Watch Netflix.
Nevertheless, it doesn't bother... It wouldn't bother me, period. You could be laughing, kicking, and hard at text messages all the time. It wouldn't do me no... It wouldn't make me no mind. Because again, if I'm sure now the situation could be different. I could be naive, absolutely. But that's just something that I'm choosing in my head not to have as a bother to me. I'm just choosing not to allow that to be because I've seen too many people jump the gun and be stupid and cause rifts and be wrong.
And that's
or the other side of it, you go and you find out what you didn't want to find out.
And see, and that's the thing, like, a lot of relationships starts acting crazy when you assume that there's something going on and situations like that, phone calls and all other kind of stuff. And it really doesn't, that's not important.
I know, I
feel like the only time that my man gets mad, if we were supposed to have us time, and I'm on my phone, like, you're not watching. You're supposed to be watching TV. You're on your phone.
Because you know why? And you know why guys do that? Because the moment we pick up our shit, y'all gonna be sitting there, and we be sitting there, and again, everything on social media, there's a thousand things on social media that make you laugh.
It's the same thing on social media.
You know what I'm saying? But it'd be the same, but we may not be tuned into the same shit. So I could be looking at other things on social media that you're not, and I could just have a whole slew of funny shit on my pages, on pages that I follow and I watch, and chuckle and laugh,
he shows me what he's laughing about.
You know, all of a sudden, what's so fucking funny? Shit like that. But
I don't have to say it. You just showed me. I don't have to say, like, you know, you're like, oh, look at this. This shit is funny.
Should be funny, man.
But But if you have a relationship like that, you know, a fun relationship, you're not really trying to hide anything. Yeah, of course you want your privacy, but you're not trying to hide anything because there's nothing to hide. You know what I'm saying? You know you love your man, you love your girl. You're going to make it work. So if unnecessary stuff is going to cause your relationship to be like effed up, it makes no sense to be in one. The little things can hurt a relationship. And sometimes it's not the big things. People tend to forget the more bigger things than the little things. And they build the little things up until it becomes big.
I had a friend that was dealing with a girl who obviously, you know, as we see now, had insecurity problems. And he had a best friend that he was friends with since like high school or some shit like that. They all grown now. But he talked to homegirl on a regular. Nothing. There was nothing between them. Never, ever, even from high school. She's attractive. He's attractive. Nothing, ever, ever, ever. But that's when they be like, don't be going to look, you know, don't go look for something that you don't want to find. That situation particularly happened. I think they had a conversation, something to the fore where the female best friend was confiding in my bro about her relationship or some shit like that, how friends do. And he was just giving his advice. You know, like they talked openly. I think it was probably a sexual conversation or something to that effect, where it was just more or less her describing, and he's like, you know, talking about the topic, but not talking to, like, sexually to him, but just expressing what she's going through. And he's just talking. You know, sleep one night, girl goes to his phone, see the whole conversation. Wake him up, hot water in his face, and slapping him up, hitting him with a bell, all shit like that. They just finished fucking. Sorry, bro, if you hear this shit. They just finished fucking, so he was asleep. You know what I'm saying? Threw hot water on him, hitting him with a belt, all types of shit. You know, crazy. He threw all his clothes, police, all this shit. Wild out. Goes to find out, long story short, that's a long-term friend. Everybody, his mama, everybody. Like, yo, who? When they found out what happened, because the cops got involved, because like I said, she tried to throw him out. They got into a little tussle, all types of shit. Then when they find out, oh, you cheating on me, bitch, talking all this sex shit, this, that, and third. She didn't read the top of the conversation where it was like, yo, I got to talk to you about such and such. And then goes into what's going on. She just read the, you know what I'm saying? Mom's, yo, I took that girl to school. That's his best friend. Everybody, his brothers, sisters, all like, yo, you are bugging out. Took homegirl, not trying to, almost, they almost fought, but it took homegirl. Like, yo, you wild out. This, that, and third, but ruined the dope relationship that, you know, he was really hurt about and she was hurt about because I was friends with both of them. At the end of it all, when she realized that she was dead wrong, see what happened? It was too late. I mean, I think it was probably, you know, possibly to be redeemed, but it was a lot of nastiness and, you know, that situation and all of that shit that happened that night. But,
that's why I don't care to look at nobody's fault. I don't care. Like, I'm not that person who's going to be, like, searching for... Because if you search, you're going to find something that you... I'm not down for none of that bull crap. That's why I'm like, are you going to trust? Or that's it. If certain do go down, are you going to forgive? If you can't forgive, then leave. Makes no sense to stress yourself out in anything. Why stress? Why? Why? Because it's just going to hurt you in the long run. You're going to be sick, all that kind of stuff. Especially if kids involved. It's just a messy situation. Messy situation. Now, I'm not saying sometimes you can't help with situations that happen far as, okay, you know, now he cheated. Now what you going to do? You're going to stay and keep bringing it up? Or you're going to leave with, like, you know what? If you want to go out there and be single and mess around, do that. Don't say you love me and go out there and cheat and go out there and do what you want to do. Because then you have the opportunity to do that in the beginning. Going back to the dating rules. You had the opportunity. As soon as you said, oh, let's be exclusive. Let's do this. And then when you figure that you can't do that no more, and now you want to go out there and explore, you had the opportunity to do so. You had it. Don't tell me you love me and want to be exclusive and you're going out there doing that. That's why I tell people, take your time. Think about what you're doing. If this is something that you want right now, because you have ample opportunity. You have a whole year or maybe a year and a half or 2 years to say, you know what? I tried. I just can't do it. I'd rather for you to tell me, you know, in a conversation face to face, then go out there and do something that's going to make me hate you because I don't want to hate you. Let's say, you know what, I have been feeling some type of way. I've been going through certain things. I've been feeling this way. Okay. Now, I'm saying it like this. It's not that easy. But if you come from a relationship where communication is the key, and this is what y'all about, then it would be easy to talk to each other about your feelings, especially moving forward, because then you could walk away from a situation like, you know what, that's fine. I'm going to go move on with my life, and with this is not going to bother me.
Right.
This right here is not going to bother me. We can still be cool, but I ain't fucking with you like that. You know what I'm saying? I can be able to see you in the street and say, hi, how you doing? How's everything going? And not try to avoid you over a crazy situation.
Word.
That's the grown-up thing to do.
Grown-up shit.
When people start being grown-ups and acting like grown-ups, they could be in grown-up situations, grown-up relationships. But if you're going to be silly and you can't handle a grown-up situation, then you ain't grow up yet and you still need to be out there riding a tricycle.
Still about niggas riding tricycles. I seen a crackhead ride a tricycle before. Dead ass. I seen a crackhead ride a tricycle. That nigga was high as hell.
He was trying to get to it. He had to go.
He couldn't go nowhere. He just kept going in circles.
I can't.
He couldn't get it to go straight. He just kept going in circles. He was high. He was like, look what I can do. Ride this motherfucking tricycle. It was a big wheel, nigga. He was riding the fuck out that shit in circles.
I'm done.
Look what I can do.
Why are crackheads always short? Like, they small.
What the fuck you talking about? I know a tall-ass crackhead.
I don't know any tall crackheads.
I know a tall crackhead. That nigga used to play basketball back in the park over here. And they used to be the truth. Niggas used to call that nigga the truth. Used to be the truth until he started doing that wet. You know what I'm saying? He started doing little dip cigarettes and shit. Bump up, you know what I'm saying? Throw a little coke and a little weed, a little coke, a little cigarette. You know what I'm saying? You'd be out here, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I'll bust your ass, nigga. For $10.
I don't know any tall crackheads.
I ain't playing you in no games, crackhead, nigga. Not no game of your choice.
Nigga. And they make the funniest comedians. And they talented.
You play a crackhead. You play a crackhead in the game of his choice. You are losing. You might as well just give him $10. Might as well just hit, nigga. I'm not gonna play.
No, when I saw,
because she's gonna win because she needs that $10. She's definitely gonna bust your ass. She's not gonna.
Yo, when I saw on the internet, they had the crackhead was carrying a refrigerator on his back, stole the refrigerator.
Crackhead be like, that's why. Crackhead be like, $20. I'll do more push-ups than your ass.
They're the strongest
don't,
niggas.
Don't. Oh my soul, my nigga. Me and my homeboy and my friend had got into a car accident on the way to picking me up from the liquor store back in the day. They got in a car accident with some undercovers. I'm not going to say what happened, but we moved the car away from the scene of the accident. We parked the car up or whatever like that away. My homeboy goes to the hospital or whatever, and... Yeah, this cracker around our way named Junebug or whatever like that. That nigga strong as shit. That nigga came over or whatever. They told him to come over and help, you know, get shit out the trunk or, you know, check the engine. But the front of the side, that shit was fucked up. We watched this nigga Junebug, nigga. He bent, and my homeboy had a BMW, nigga. He bent the motherfucking hood, nigga, like, because it wasn't opening from the latch. Because he couldn't get in the motherfucking, he couldn't get inside because of the accident. He couldn't get there to press the button to open up the hood, so he had to hit the latch. He couldn't get to that shit, nigga. That nigga, lift that shit up, nigga, like, three pulls, nigga, bent that whole shit up, nigga. I'm like, yo, you a strong-ass crackhead, my nigga. You a strong-ass crackhead, bro. Hell yeah, I was watching that shit. That nigga, strong crackhead, nigga. You know what I'm saying?
They were the strongest.
That nigga, the crack made like Popeye, nigga. Fuck out of here.
Stupid.
Well, fucking crackheads, man. With the fucking, the white spinach, nigga. Her, nigga. That hard pause spinach, nigga. You know what I'm saying? But real quick, man, let me ask you a question. Should a body count of a person affect if you date them or not?
It's about how many people you slept with?
Mm-hmm.
No. I don't care.
You don't care?
Mm-mm.
So if I slept with 100 women, you don't matter?
Just don't ask me how many people I slept with.
Oh, shit. If you double out, if you beating out 100... If you beating out 100, shit.
Oh, no, I don't care. I don't care to know you. Please don't care to know.
You beating out 100. God
nah,
damn.
Nah, it's definitely not 100.
100, motherfucker?
It's definitely
you
not.
You got 150? 200? No,
it's definitely not 100.
You 200 in the paint? God no. Damn.
No, but if you slept with 100 women, come on now. You're going to go get tested tomorrow. In the snow.
I'm saying, what's not wrong with sleeping with 100 women?
Yes, there is. That's a lot of body count. Are you a porn star?
No, but if you're a hoe, that's the same thing, right?
So was you a hoe back in the day?
I was definitely a hoe.
So your number is definitely like over 100?
Nah, it's probably not. It's close, though.
It's close to that?
It's probably close. I was a hoe. I was a big hoe.
Wow.
Lost my virginity young, man. I was a hoe.
Across over 20 years, I can see that.
I was a hoe.
Yeah, it's been, like, how old are each other? Like, 20 years?
Yeah, I lost my virginity at 12, man. I was a hoe.
Yeah.
Word, man. I was a hoe. I lost my shit at 12. And fucking Ebbetsville Projects. Lost that shit in a dark room with a Spanish bitch. While my man was fucking another bitch in the next, right next to me in the bed. So, she was like 16. I was R. Kelly. I wasn't peed on, but I was taking advantage of. Survivor Ebbetsville.
You must be really big, because this is a lot of information right now.
I'm just saying. I mean,
it was like, okay.
I think that happened with a lot of people. I think a lot of guys, when they lost their virginity at a young age, was most likely fucking a bitch that was not that much older than him. I lost my shit to a 16-year-old, whatever like that. Word. I know a homeboy that was like 11 and was fucking a 15-year-old. You know what I'm saying? Word. Mm-hmm. That's scary because I got 15-year-olds and I'll kill one of your little kids, man. Tell them to stay away from my daughter.
No, me on the other hand, I was popular, and I dated, at 14, 15, I didn't do anything because I was too scared. And back in the day when I was growing up, a girl who was having sex or doing anything was considered a hoe.
Still is.
So, but they're more looser now.
Oh,
it's more looser
being
now.
Being called a hoe actually hurt a feeling back
it
then.
It hurt your feelings back in the day.
Right, back then it hurt a feeling.
When
now,
you was called a hoe, I'm telling you, now, your feelings were hurt.
Nowadays, you fall but up with your hoe.
I'm a hoe, so what? I don't give a fuck.
She, have a pay, she hit you with the, well, I'm a pay hoe. I'm a rich hoe. I got all my bills paid, hoe. I'm a good hoe. All types of shit like that. That's what girls say now.
And the thing is, yeah, guys came at me like, oh, no. I back then I had the strength enough to say no. Because I knew I wasn't ready. So and like, I knew what I couldn't take, so I couldn't take that back.
So wait, back then you didn't have the strength. Now you don't got the strength?
What are you talking about?
You said back then.
Because I wasn't ready. Yeah. I wasn't ready.
Back then you had the strength. Now you don't got the strength? That's what you're trying to say?
I have this, boy, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I'm just asking.
You know what I'm talking about.
I'm just asking.
I'm just saying, as a teenager, I've been approached on numerous of times. I didn't do anything because I wasn't ready, and it scared the hell out of me. And I didn't want to be called no hoe. But it's not until I was 18 years old, and I was in a relationship with the boyfriend, and that's when I lost my virginity. And that was it. Otherwise, I was not doing that with nobody. If I wasn't in a relationship with you, I wasn't doing, even though I was in a relationship back then, because I had a lot of boyfriends, but I didn't do nothing with them. Oh, nothing. God. I was too scared.
Don't say it like that.
But for real.
You had a lot of boyfriends. A lot.
Not like that. I'm talking about when you were like junior high school, public school, you want to be my boyfriend? You want to be my girlfriend? You know, it was like that. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like, I actually date anybody until like I was like in high school. During high school, I wasn't doing nothing. I had friends who did stuff, but they respected me enough that I didn't do anything. So I had that respect from them. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't one of those girls out there doing crazy stuff. So I had their respect. You know what I'm saying? Oh, but you ain't doing that, girl. You crazy because everybody else is doing it. No, they respected that I didn't do that. So that's the thing. That's why I was popular, because I didn't do those things. And guys back then really didn't want a hoe girl. They had sex with them, but as far as being in a relationship with them, they didn't want to be in a relationship with no hoe, because most likely she slept with him, and they know that, you know.
But nah, for real, there should be a definite, like, a cap number on how many motherfuckers you slept with before. I could be like, ew. Like, there should be, like, even for guys, it should be like a cap number, like, nigga, it, like, ew, like, for real?
I mean, I've been in, like, relationships I can count on my hand. People outside of that, maybe one hand. So it's not that many people that I slept with. I've been in this many relationships, and outside of non-relationship sex, this many.
Okay. I don't got that many hands for me, but I'm just saying, I think guys are always led to a bigger
standard. And it's always been repeated offenders. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was always been, like, I would go back to what was bad, yeah.
You was already doing. You wasn't going to find new dick. Going back to old dick.
I was going back to a familiar.
Oh. Nah, guys don't do that, man. We stay looking for new pussy. You be the same pussy. I don't go, not all pussies.
I didn't
want to
go out there catching anything.
I mean, niggas need to start thinking more about catching stuff first than before fucking. Mm-hmm. Niggas always think about catching shit after we fuck. Like, oh shit, man, I hope I don't get nothing from this bitch. Bitch cough all night. You still beat that bitch. Like, oh shit, yeah. It's condom on. You know what I'm saying? Niggas never think about catching something before we get the pussy. We always think about catching something right after we fuck. Especially if we thought she was dirty. Prior to fucking, unless she do some real gross shit, and most likely we're just gonna cut you off if we do some shit like that. But a nigga won't think about catching something with a bitch that they just met or shit like that until after they fuck. Like, well, as soon as they going home, like, oh man, I hope this bitch ain't gonna. Oh man. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, I thought I heard a cough when I was fucking. I thought I did. I thought she scratched like 2 minutes too long for me.
Stupid.
I knew I
no,
should.
No, but these are definitely different now as far as how we were brought up and how they are now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, there's still people out there, kids out there who's like, nah, I'm not, I know, don't touch me, no, I'm not ready. And I applaud you guys because you don't want to do nothing that you ain't ready for. Trust and believe. Trust. And I'm glad that I waited. I'm so glad. I'm so glad I waited. until I was ready. And I was 18 years old.
Yes, teenage girls, especially my daughters, fucking wait. I don't want to have to punch you in the stomach. I'm just joking.
No, but it's the truth. Like, if I had kids now, and I had kids your age, I would be having that talk with them because I know how it was when we were growing up. I know how boys were when we was growing up.
I have that talk. I think I would. I think I talk to the point. I want to talk to the point where, I want to talk to the point where I make my daughters gross out about sex. Like, ew, right, daddy. I'm
scared.
Like,
I would scare my kids.
No. No, daddy. Stop talking about
it. They ugly. Dicks are ugly. Pussies.
Nah, I don't want to give them no lies like that. Because I will. When they find out it's beautiful, then you're going to be looking. No.
No, I no. will. I will lie. And I will
scare them. I think the more explicit that you can be, the gross out, the more gross that you can get it into their brain about it, the better. Rather than you telling them a fucking lie like, dicks are ugly and pussies are nasty. Ugly. Nah, that's a whole lie. Because if she like if your mama a hoe and you tell her dicks is ugly, when she get older and realizes that she got hoe tendencies like a mama and dicks are beautiful, pause.
Did you say she has hoe tendencies like her mama?
Yeah, I said that.
I can't. She realized that dick is beautiful, which they are.
She gonna look at you like, bitch, you lied. This shit is fantastic. And you got you better gonna, be you got hyper be, you got hyper boost her hoism.
25 years old. She better be 25 years old telling me when she had sex for the first time. No.
Nah, you want to be fake. I want to
be real. Want to be fake? No. 25.
You gonna find out. You gonna find out she I'm fucking so after her. After her
of having kids her 12th and partner. Have to deal with the bull crap that I see you, my sister. She already talked about like, I'm looking at my daughter and one day she's gonna have sex. I'm so scared about that right now. I don't want to look at my baby like, oh my god, some guy gonna be on top. Yeah, that guy
fucking.
Honey, let me tell you something. That
motherfucking kids ain't even got teeth. Fuck out of here. No, I don't hear that shit.
But see, but the thing is, that's the thing. I know I'll be a good parent.
My daughters is putting weaves and makeup on right now. Talk to me when they get there. I'm there.
That's what I'm saying. I'm so scared because at that point, I'm going to look at my girls at 15 years old because I know. I didn't start wearing makeup until I was like... I had to be like 16 too, but I was out there performing, you know, I sing, so I was out there performing, so I had to wear makeup. That's the only, but I only wore makeup when I performed. I didn't wear makeup going to school. I didn't wear makeup or anything like that because my parents wasn't having that. So now they what age they are? Cause they twins.
My daughters are 15.
15 years old. I was not wearing makeup at 15 years old. Weaves. The most weave I had in my hair was braids.
I don't give a fuck.
I have no weave in my hair. I have braids.
I don't give a fuck. My daughters aren't going to be the little bitches that fuck the little 12-year-old. They're not going to do that. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to be the little bitch that fuck the little 12-year-old. They're not going to do that. They're not.
These kids are little 12. Why
would
they have sex with a
12-year-old? No, I'm just living my past. I'm just saying.
Aww.
You know what I'm saying?
Aww.
I mean,
all will the God.
You're so stupid. Yo, man.
No, but it scares me to have kids a little bit though. But you know, I'm glad we did this podcast on tonight.
Man. This shit was dope, man. I appreciate all y'all listening, man.
I was able to talk.
She talked her ass.
I was able to talk tonight.
This is gonna be the Bev Show. That's the name of this one.
I was able to talk today. I'm excited.
This is the
best show. He may not cut me off, though, because he does the editing right now.
This is the best but show. The best
I was show. Able to talk today. I'm excited.
So, man, Beth got her own episode.
No, because you talked a lot, too. But I'll talk more than what y'all usually hear me talking.
She was at her bed tonight. Out some nice speaking tea.
My life, my life, my life, my life, and the sunshine. 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 Everybody loves the sunshine. Sunshine. Folks get down in the sunshine. Sunshine.
Yeah.
Folks get brown in the sunshine. Everybody loves the sunshine. Sunshine. Everybody loves the sunshine.
Sunshine. Keep living, my loves. Keep living.